Good morning. It is wonderful to have each and every one of you here this morning. Please turn with me in the red hymnal to number 549 and we'll sing the doxology together. In the red hymnal, number 723. Whoever loves me will obey my message. My Father will love him, and my Father and I will come to him and live with him. Whoever does not love me does not obey my words. The message you have heard is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am still with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 191, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory. 191.
Thank you.
Amen. I like singing that song because it gives me an opportunity to sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we come before you just as we are. And Lord, you know of the challenges that we have had this past week. And God, you know our hearts and minds, and you know right now that we are thinking about the challenges that we will be facing this coming week. But God, right now, in the quietness of our hearts, in the peace of our minds, we just come to you to worship. That's what we want to do right now. And God, we come before you with those requests so it prepares our heart and gives us that attitude of worship that you want us to have in the present. We know that you hear our requests. You know that you are aware of those needs that we have in our lives. But God, you remind us again and again to come before you with those requests, to pray to you openly and honestly. And God, we know that when we do that, the presence of your Spirit is in our lives. And we hear the things that you want us to say. We hear the things that you want us to do. We hear the Spirit that you want us to live by. One of love, one of compassion, and one of truth. Lord, we think of the needs of others. We think of the needs of family members and friends. We think of the needs of patients. We think of the needs of staff that are working here today. Lord, we lift all those needs up to you. And God, we would just ask that as we are praying to you, that we would draw closer to you to come to a better understanding of your Spirit in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for hearing all of our prayers collectively and individually. And we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 138, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. 138, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King.
Standing on the promises of heaven.
scripture reading this morning is found in your bulletin, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven like a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that we have already connected to you in worship by the hymns that we have sung together, by the prayers that we have offered, by the scriptures that we have read. And Lord, I would ask that your spirit and presence in our lives would keep that connection so that you can continue to show us the things that we need to apply to our lives, so that we can draw closer to you and walk with you in the light the way that you want us to walk. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. The last verse of that scripture that we've just read, therefore encourage one another with these words. As we go from our day-to-day living, one of the things that God wants us to do always is to encourage each other. Encourage each other as we walk with God. The scriptures that we have read this morning reminds us that sometime in the future, looking ahead, you and I probably will die unless we are here when the Lord returns. But either way, we are to look ahead and look to the future that we have in God. It is that perspective that God wants us to have as we live our daily lives. We have different things in our lives that we do to remind us of those people that have gone before us. We have many types of memorials that we do. Here in the chapel, we are reminded of certain people that have lived lives, that have died giving of their all as chaplains. Those that have served in our country know what that means in terms of the lives that we have seen, that we have lost in battle. But we always have a hope that never ends. And in that, we are to encourage one another. I was speaking to you a couple of weeks ago about a friend of mine that had called me, and her husband had just been diagnosed with cancer. And he passed away within a week. I went and had lunch with her last week, and I asked her how she was doing. First of all, she thanked me for calling her and asking her if she wanted to come out for lunch, because it had been the second time she had been outside of her home since her husband had passed away. So she was very thankful that I was thinking about her and wanting to get together just to talk about things. So as we began our conversation, I said to her, what should we not talk about? What should we not talk about? Now, some of you are smiling because if you've ever been around with someone that has lost a loved one, there are times when they want to talk about it, and there are times when they don't want to talk about it. And we were in a public place, and I don't think she wanted to have an emotional meltdown, nor did I want to have an emotional meltdown in a public place. So I asked her, what would you like to talk about? And we began to talk about other things, because that's where she wanted to go. And in that sense, I was encouraging her to be who she is in her life at that moment. And in the same way, a lot of times we feel compelled that when we know that someone is hurting, we want to be able to render aid. We want to be able to render help. And sometimes because we want to do that so badly, we say the most stupidest things that we could ever say. And I actually talked to her about that later on in our conversations. And she laughed because people had done and said stupid things because they wanted to help her in some form or fashion. And they felt helpless. But they felt compelled to do something. You know what I'm talking about there, right? We just got to do something. But I want to encourage you that when we know someone that has experienced a loss, the best way that we can encourage them is to allow them to be who they are, allow them to talk about the things that they want to talk about, as uncomfortable as that might be for you, because you want to help, right? But you are helping by allowing them to talk about the things that they want to talk about. And when the time is right, the Spirit of God will lead you to say those things that are an encouragement to them spiritually, to remind them of the fact that as you look ahead in your life, they too need to be looking ahead in their lives. Wait for the opportunity. Be patient. God will allow you that opportunity in spirit to say the right thing, to do the right thing that encourages them, that will benefit them. And you will feel encouraged too, because you didn't say the stupid thing. You didn't say the wrong thing. You said the right thing at the right time, and you provided that encouragement that that person needs. The scriptures here are telling us to do that. The scriptures here are telling us this morning that we need to encourage people to look ahead. And when death happens in our lives, in our journey through life, which it has happened to each and every one of us in some form or fashion, if you're old enough. But it's the way in which we encourage people to believe in what we believe in. Encourage people to believe in what we believe in, not because it is in our best interest, but because it is in their best interest. And to do it in such a way that they understand that your hope that you have for them, for their loved one, is the same hope that you have in your life. It's not just wishful thinking. It's not just some type of myth or fairy tale that we choose to believe in. I choose to believe in this truth. And it is because I believe in this truth and because of what I have to look forward to and looking ahead, I have purpose in my life. I have continual purpose in my life. And it makes a difference in my life. It makes a difference in my attitudes, in my actions, in my conduct. It makes a difference in terms of who I am as a person because I believe in this truth. And people make a choice to believe or not to believe this truth. That is their choice. I might disagree with it, and I want to say that you can make a better choice. In fact, when I was in Disney World a couple of weeks ago, I was actually walking next to a mother and her daughter, and her mother was giving her this, I don't want to say lecture, but was telling this little girl how important it was to make the right choices in life. And I thought that was very interesting. Here mom was telling her daughter about choices and to make those right choices. We all want to make the right choices. Sometimes we make the wrong choices. I want to see a raising of hands. I'll raise my hand for everybody. We all make wrong choices. We all have made mistakes. No, you don't have to raise. I'll raise your hand for everybody. But we all have done that. But that doesn't mean that we should stop encouraging people from looking ahead. We all have sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. That's why you and I have God's grace, and we embrace God's grace because it's God's unmerited favor to each and every one of us. And it is because of that truth that we believe in, that when I ask God to forgive me of my sins, and I do that more frequently than probably you can imagine. You can imagine pretty much, right? I don't know. But you know what? It's that same grace that tells me that I can encourage other people to come to know the Lord, to live for the Lord. It's just being who we are. It's just respecting the other person and the choices that they make. There's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. When we think of Christ's life, we think of Christ's teachings. I've read some things where Christ was confrontational. Yes, he was at certain times and at certain places, but the majority of the time, he was full of compassion and love, and was encouraging people to make the right choices for their lives. So within our own lives, there are times when we have to be confrontational. But more times than not, if we follow Christ's example, if we say that we are a Christian, which means that we are a follower of Christ, then more times than not, we need to follow that model, that vision of what he did in conducting love and compassion to each other to help people make the right choices for their lives. I can't think of a more difficult topic to talk about than how to help people when they meet death and when they face death. Here at the medical center, we see it more frequently than I think the general public does as a whole. But the topic still remains the same. How do we help people meet that? Not accept it, but meet it. How do we help family members meet that when that happens? How do we give them that encouragement? How do we kind of show them a way to go through it? As I was telling you about my conversation with my friend, as we talked about a variety of things, at the end of our conversation, she had a little notepad with her, and she opened it, And it was the order of worship of the service that she had planned out for her husband. And she wanted to talk to me about it. And she wanted it to be a celebration of life. She wanted it to be a celebration of her husband's life, who she loves dearly, who was taken from her and her mind very suddenly, with not a lot of time to prepare herself or the family for what had happened. But yet, as we talked about it, I shared with her, well, you know, I have some scriptures that I'm probably going to use, because she asked me to provide the message for the service. But once again, she wanted it to be a focus and a celebration of life. And I said, I would do that, but I said, please understand where I come from, who I am. I am a Christian, pastor, minister, chaplain. And it is from that perspective that I would provide that message. Are you okay with that? And she said yes. And she actually started to get teary-eyed, because I was just being honest with her. I wasn't going to talk about death without talking about life, the life spiritually that we could have in Christ. And I did so in a loving and compassionate way. I didn't lay out, well, I have to do this, and if you won't let me do this, I can't do this. I didn't present it that way. I presented, this is who I am. I bring into your life and into this memorial service that you want to have and celebrating the life of your husband, who I am. That's all I can do. That's all you and I can do in any situation. We bring who we are in Christ into that situation. And if we are honest and open about that, people accept that. People accept who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. But I think sometimes we want to shy away from that. Sometimes we are afraid of what other people are going to think of us if we tell them that we are a Christian. We shouldn't be afraid of that. God is not afraid of you, is he? God was not afraid to call you in the presence of his Spirit for you to come to know him as personal Lord and Savior, right? God honored you with that presence of the Spirit in your life. God wants us to honor him in the presence of the Spirit with others that we are a part of in their lives. And we do so with the truth of what we believe in, the truth of this encouragement. I read this a couple of weeks ago, before all these different things had happened, and I just was reminded of the fact how much we have to look forward to. And when we have something to look forward to, what does it do for us in our everyday lives? And what we have to look forward to is something that is spiritual. Something that transcends all of our human understanding. Something that transcends this life and goes beyond. Gives us a perspective that is totally different when we're facing the life's challenges that we have. So this text of Scripture is not just about when people die. It's about the life that we can have until we see Christ again. Whether it's in a state of being alive on this earth or whether it's in a state of being asleep and in death. It gives us the purpose to live the life now. Think about the difficulties and the challenges that you are facing. When I think of mine, when I think of the difficult challenges that I am facing, if I put it in the spiritual realm of my life where it belongs, it does not affect me as a person. Hear what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? If I put it in the spiritual realm where it belongs, it does not affect me as a person. Because I know spiritually what awaits for me in the future. And so do you. So do you. And so there's a personal application here for us. A personal application of what we believe in. A belief in a truth. A belief in something that as we look forward to life, that we are not to be afraid. We sang that in some of our hymns this morning. To not to be afraid. Because God has already made that journey for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because we understand that our future is certain. It is not uncertain. Our future is certain. And because of that, we can live today with certainty. We can face the challenges of our lives on a daily basis with certainty because we know and we have looked ahead about what waits before us. Please encourage each other with these words. The words of Scripture that we have read this morning. The words of confidence that comes from this truth of what we read this morning. The words of life that continues for each and every one of us after this present life has ended. A new and different life begins for us. Amen. Please take a few moments and prepare your hearts for communion as we partake together as a body of believers in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious God, You have reminded us to look ahead because we know what we have waiting for us. And because of that, we can see through the challenges that are facing us today. We can see them for what they represent spiritually in our lives. And all of those challenges are truly nothing as we look ahead to our life with You in eternity. God, thank You for this time that we've had as communion together, for partaking the elements as one body of believers in Jesus Christ, because we share that publicly in one act of worship to You. Thank You, God, for this communion that we share. In Christ's name, amen. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Please turn with me to your hymnals to number 137, and we'll sing "My Jesus, I Love Thee." Reminded us again and again that whatever state we are in our journey through life, to always love you. And it is because of that love that we can see through the challenges, the fears that we have, the anxieties, the things that we are concerned about, because our eyes are focused on you. And God, we thank you for that. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.